Hello, welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and once again, I'm interviewing my friend Shireen Chadha.
Thank you, Dan.
How are you today?
Wonderful.
I am happy to hear that. You're probably wonderful because you're just living in a life of good karma. Okay, this is our topic, understanding karma. Now, we've all seen the bumper sticker, my dogma was run over by my karma, but it's not quite that glib in real life. What is karma from a BK standpoint?
The word karma, actually the word itself means action. But when we talk about karma, we're not just talking about action. We're talking about interaction. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the action itself. We're talking about interaction. We're talking about intention behind the action. And we're talking about enabling an action.
So back in Western, back in the 50s, I believe, was Earl Nightingale made popular a saying that a person is what she thinks about day and night. Now, does that have anything to do with how we perceive karma, though it is about action? Do our thoughts lead to actions which lead to karma, or how does
Yes, our thoughts do lead to action. Actually, we have three kinds of karma. We have good karma, which means I am operating in soul consciousness, that is, I'm operating in love and peace and spirituality. And then we have negative karma, where I'm operating under the vices like ego or anger or all of those. And then we have neutral, which we won't talk about. But when it comes to good karma, then our thoughts do count. But when it comes to negative karma, in our understanding in the B case is, let's say I have a thought of killing someone. It's just one thought, isolated thought. Then it really doesn't count as negative karma till I bring it into action.
So the internal image I got was, sometimes as the way ideas float through our heads, a negative idea can float through our heads, and if we don't cling to it and act on it, then it's not going to do us damage long term.
Right. There are two ways, our understanding is two ways we commit negative karma, through words and through actions. Through thoughts, it's just, if it's in just thought level, then it's okay.
Right, but let's not fall into the trap of thinking it every day, all day about something.
Yeah, all day about something, because invariably, if we think about it enough, we bring it into action.
Yes. So some people talk about, whoa, that's bad karma, but that's a little glib also in terms of, I mean, there's negative things to
actually
do.
Understanding when people are talking about bad karma, they're talking about the law of karma. And laws, actually law of karma is applicable to different situations in different ways. And every religion really talks about the law of karma. When we were talking about interaction, karma is actually about interaction. There are several, there are three kinds of interaction. There's interaction between human beings and human beings. There's interaction between human beings and matter, which we are seeing a lot now on the talk about climate change. And there's interaction between human beings and God. And so many religions, actually most all religions, talk about the karmic law that happens in interaction between human beings and human beings. For example, in Christianity, whatever you sow, so shall you reap.
Right.
Or, you know, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Or every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So all of that is equal.
And it's all karmic, and there are different ways of talking of karma.
Yeah, different ways of talking karma, and it's interaction between equals, between human beings. And so if you, let's say, punch someone, and then that will come back to you as a punch. I mean, poetically, in different ways.
Well, that's an important thing. If we punch someone, does that mean we'll get punched, or does that mean it can come back in another negative way?
It comes back in the sorrow I've given. And so if I've given sorrow, then I will receive sorrow. But that's the action itself. But there are very subtle ways that karma comes back. If I have an intention and if I'm enabling.
Enabling,
for example, if I have a son who's living at home and he is doing drugs. Right? And I think, oh, but, and let's say he's really committing bad deeds. But if I am letting him stay at home, feeding him, giving him shelter and all of those things. Even though I say, but I'm not doing drugs, so it's not my karma, he's doing negative things. but I'm enabling. And so that actually, even if my intention is, oh, I love my son and I need to take care of my son, even if my intention is good, enabling preempts intention.
Ah. Now here, this is something that tells me that that is almost a cry for going, for activism. Feeding the hungry, helping others. If I enable an environment to take advantage of people, if I'm not stepping up, is that creating bad karma?
Yep. That's why I said the interaction of collectively with the environment is also there. So we have karmas as human beings with the environment, and you're seeing that.
Being a steward of the environment, the caretaker is therefore important.
Yes. And so, and I will go out on the limb and be very political here. If I am paying taxes in this country and the country is going to war in my name, I am actually responsible in a way. It's my karma too.
So what is your... You're out on a limb now, so I'm going to hand you a saw to start sawing on the limb. Does that mean you should not pay your taxes?
No, it means that I have to do something about it, not just be a silent spectator to people using me to do things.
So you can render under Caesar what is Caesar's and still have good karma if you're doing something.
Right, no. But I would never say don't pay taxes.
But this is also sets up, we've sort of moved on the negative karma side of it, but there's also, I mean, that's only seeing half the show. The other half is creating a good karmic response, a good response that gives us
yes, good karmas are really important. Many times I feel karmic laws, whatever you do, actually, karmic laws transcend national boundaries. The same karmic law that applies to me here applies to whoever is in Africa and whoever is in India. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's universal. And the karmic law is if I act in my goodness, if I act in my love, if I act in my peace, if I act in my bliss, if I act from those sources, and I'm enabling people to emerge those things in themselves, or if I'm really enabling people to have a good connection with the higher power and transform their lives, then I am performing good karma.
Okay, good. So most of our effort, I would think, would be focused on the how do I generate more good karma than how do I avoid, or how do I, not to focus on bad karma, but basically focus on being a good person who shares good thoughts, good deeds with others. Is that?
Yes. So even with good thought, good deeds, because people think that intention is like the be-all and end-all. It seems like a very new agey thing, or my intentions are right, or are your intentions right? It's not enough.
Aha.
And so that's something, even in good karma, I want to stress that intentions are not enough. You know, there is a saying, road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Right.
And so intentions are not enough. I have to make sure the end result is good.
So that, I think that's very important, because sometimes we can have the best intentions and do pretty awful things. I've seen people in how they discipline children.
Right.
Is being brutal with children with just wanting them to be better kids.
Right. Or spanking at the right time, even though it doesn't seem right at that time. Actually, I wouldn't suggest spanking anyone.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I can get
behind. It's not a good idea, but the end result, you have to make sure that the end result is good.
So that's what you're looking for, is what is the end result.
Yes, that you have to see, you have to be far-sighted in karma. You know, let's say someone on the road is asking you for money. You have to be far-sighted, not just feel sorry for the person at that time, but to really be far-sighted about how your actions are affecting people, how your actions are affecting the environment, how your actions... But I do want to mention, if you're talking about good karma,
right?
Really to accumulate good karma one-on-one in human interaction is not it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. But the best way to really accumulate good karma is in my interaction with this higher source, with God. And I feel the law of karma in that interaction between human being and God is different from the law of karma. It's a one-time return. Whatever goes around comes around mm-hmm. in human beings. But in my interaction with God, in my connection with God, I really do accumulate a lot, but I also get a return of thousandfold for one elevated thought, because God is so pure that He is, and He really has so much mercy and so much compassion that He is giving us that return at this time of one elevated thought, we get a thousandfold return.
And does that come back into human interaction?
Yes, yes. You take from there and then you do it in human interaction. Because when you're doing it only in human interaction, there is a lot of, you are expecting mostly something, because there's that interactions have become so impure over time. Mm-hmm. That to purify that interaction, I have to first start learning to interact with God, and then I'd be able to interact with human beings in the right way.
So let me do a clarification, though. You may get 100, 1,000 times return on that. The purity of thought with God of itself in that moment is its own reward, I would think.
Yes, yes.
It isn't just so I get extra points that I can use down on earth.
Right. I do get a reward now. But I do get a reward in the future.
Got it.
But there is, like you're saying, yes, there is in that sense
moment.
Of fullness that you feel at that time is reward itself.
So let's talk about the role of love in its effect on karma. I mean, I have read in some places that love will neutralize bad karma of sorts, or negative karma.
Spiritual love.
Spiritual love, yeah.
If my love is about taking, mm-hmm. then I get sorrow because I want to take.
Because of its conditional nature.
Yes, so you have to see what is your love. Is it that just one little thought, just ask yourself, is my love taking?
Yeah.
And if I'm taking sorrow, if I'm expecting something from someone mm-hmm. or anyone, if I'm taking in any way, then it is not fully pure.
So
it has to be pure spiritual love will, of course, heal anything.
Yeah. So in that case, then, someone who feels that I did something years ago and now I am condemned by that, probably self and other forgiveness, is, I would guess, is part of the undoing the karma, dissolving the karma. And part of it is pure love of self, of everyone involved, and tied in with the remedial action of forgiveness. Is that somewhere in the right direction?
Yeah, and going back to our recent episode, Understanding Myself, to mm-hmm. really understand yourself and to really understand God and to have that deep connection really heals it. It's not just my love that heals. It's God's love also heals.
Uh-huh. So we can be forgiven our sins of sort, our karmic paybacks, as we learn to spend more time in love, spiritual first, and then that transcends down to where we are on this planet. Wow. We were joking ahead of time on how much of your time that you have, how many times you've explained karma in discussions. Is there one cogent point, one important thing you would like to tell somebody about karma?
Yes, I want to stress back on this point that when I am connecting with a higher power, when I'm connecting with God, my karmic return is a thousandfold. And so to really make it a priority in my life, to understand that there is a burden, mm-hmm. there's an account of debt of karma on our heads, on everyone's head. That's why we are experiencing what we are experiencing. It's no one's fault.
Mm-hmm.
But to really be able to mitigate that debt with that connection with God.
So that means, since it's a thousandfold, that doesn't mean once every 3 years or so. That means every day.
Every day. It's a lot of debt. So every day we'll take care of it.
You have no idea how much in debt you are. The nice thing to know is through love, through forgiveness, through meditation with an open heart and connecting with our source, then our karmic load is lessened on a moment-to-moment, everyday basis.
Yes, Dan.
Good. Thank you, Sheree.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you for joining us. Goodbye.